But you see what madness it is to rush ahead in the dark. Indeed, we are bent on getting ourselves called back from a greater distance. And though we do not know our goal, yet we hasten with wild speed in the direction whither we are straining. The light, however, may begin to shine, provided we are willing. But such a result can come about only in one way. If we acquire by knowledge this familiarity with things divine and human, if we not only flood ourselves, but steep ourselves therein. If a man reviews the same principles, even though he understands them and applies them again and again to himself, if he has investigated what is good, what is evil, and what has falsely been so entitled, and finally, if he has investigated honor and baseness and providence, the range of the human intelligence is not confined within these limits. It may also explore outside the universe, its destination and its source, and the ruin towards which all nature hastens so rapidly. We have withdrawn the soul from this divine contemplation and dragged it into mean and lowly tasks, so that it might be a slave to greed, so that it might forsake the universe and its confines, and, under the command of masters who try all possible schemes, pry beneath the earth and seek what evil it can dig up therefrom, discontented with that which was freely offered to it. Now God, who is the Father of us all, has placed ready to our hands those things which he intended for our own good. He did not wait for any search on our part, and he gave them to us voluntarily. But that which would be injurious, he buried deep in the earth. We can complain of nothing but ourselves, for we have brought to light the materials for our destruction, against the will of nature, who hid them from us. We have bound over our souls to pleasure, whose service is the source of all evil. We have surrendered ourselves to self-seeking and reputation, and to other aims which are equally idle and useless. What, then, do I now encourage you to do? Nothing new. We are not trying to find cures for new evils, but this first of all, namely, to see clearly for yourself what is necessary and what is superfluous. What is necessary will meet you everywhere. What is superfluous has always to be hunted out and with great endeavor. But there is no reason why you should flatter yourself overmuch if you despise gilded couches and jeweled furniture. For what virtue lies in despising useless things? The time to admire your own conduct is when you have come to despise the necessities. You are doing no great thing if you can live without royal pomp, if you feel no craving for boars which weigh 1,000 pounds, or for flamingo tongues, or for the other absurdities of a luxury that already wearies of game cooked whole, and chooses different bits from separate animals. I shall admire you only when you have learned to scorn even the common sort of bread. When you have made yourself believe that grass grows for the needs of men as well as of cattle. When you have found out that food from the treetop can fill the belly into which we cram things of value as if it could keep what it has received. We should satisfy our stomachs without being over nice. How does it matter what the stomach receives, since it must lose whatever it has received? You enjoy the carefully arranged dainties which are caught on land and sea. Some are more pleasing if they are brought fresh to the table, others if after long feeding and forced fattening they almost melt and can hardly retain their own grease. You like the subtly devised flavor of these dishes, but I assure you that such carefully chosen and variously seasoned dishes, once they have entered the belly, will be overtaken alike by one and the same corruption. Would you despise the pleasures of eating? Then consider its result. I remember some words of Attalus, which elicited general applause. Riches long deceived me. I used to be dazed when I caught some gleam of them here and there. I used to think that their hidden influence matched their visible show. But once, at a certain elaborate entertainment, I saw embossed work in silver and gold, equaling the wealth of a whole city, and colors and tapestry devised to match objects which surpassed the value of gold or of silver, brought not only from beyond our own borders, but from beyond the borders